And a very big aloha. This is Talk Story, Maui's longest running talk show. I've been doing it 34 years. And I was just reminiscing here. I'm so honored today to have two fabulous people on the phone. I've got the two Pats, Pat Senior and Pat Junior. Hi, Pat. I'm looking at two different lines lit up. That's Pat Senior on the left side and Pat Junior's on the right side. Hi, guys. How are you?
Aloha.
Good.
Aloha.
Thanks, Cindy.
It's so good to talk to you.
Pat and Pat.
The two Pats. I was just saying, when Chris calls out Pat, how do you know which one it is?
We still both look up.
You know, it's a good thing you didn't name your kids Pat as well. You have your two twins and girls, Pat Jr. And can you imagine if there was another Pat in the house? I'm sure that would get stopped right away. No idea.
That would never work.
It'd be Pat 3. It was a nice article. John Woodhouse did a very nice article about your story of father and son and how you work together. And, of course, this big event is this coming weekend. The 27th is the day that you're going to be together. And what an honor. I mean, I tell you, when you do these things, usually if it's at the Mac or the McCoy or whatever, you sell out. You sell out. People love seeing both of you together. And we don't that often get to see you both together. I'm trying to think of other times. There's been maybe two or three times where you have done joint musical events together. But as you said, it was as it was said by John Woodhouse. And I was not aware that of how you, Pat Jr., would be on the side wings and get out there on stage and play with the Doobies as the last song. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to grow into that so that you never had a fear, did you, of audiences or crowds or anything?
I definitely had my fair share of nerves, and I still get nervous, you know, going out there and performing, even if it's for a small little bar audience or, you know, the Mac or whatever. But
really?
I definitely got used to it going on stage at a young age with my dad. And, yeah, I just want to say again, I'm just so grateful to get to play with you, Dad. It's cool to put something together like this and you know, to be at home and perform for our local crowd for you know, a benefit cause is really fun.
I'm nervous.
You're not. Oh, you're not. You're not.
I'm always nervous.
You're so mellow. Mellow.
I always get butterflies no matter what, you know, just kind of.
Me too.
part of my thing, but we don't do these very often, and to, you know, it seems like we would do them more often, but we don't always have the occasion. I mean, we do little things. I might get up with Pat and play a couple songs, and vice versa, you know, get up and play with us or me on something, but we don't do these kind of formal, you know, the two of us together with you know, kind of equal number of songs and you know, rehearsing. We're actually rehearsing.
Wow.
You know,
yeah, we're gonna actually perform with my full band. I just put a new band together here on Maui.
Oh, congratulations. Well,
so we're gonna do just a duo thing, but then we decided, hey, you know, I've been playing so many gigs with this new band I put together, we might as well just rock out and give people something to dance to a little louder.
It's Saturday, April 27th at the Playground, and it's only $25. And I really, folks, I'd get tickets right away because it's right away, right? Because it's probably maybe even already sold out.
You know, we're pretty low still on ticket numbers. I think not super low. I mean, you know, I think we've only sold maybe like a third of the venue out.
What?
Or a quarter of the venue out.
Wow.
But I think also, you know, being Maui how it is, you know, people always kind of show up last minute. That's kind of how I've seen it to be. But, you know, I just want to say again about this event, I kind of had this vision for putting this together and to help out this resource center. It's this nonprofit organization that helps out families and, you know, homeschool families and have an alternative education kind of thing. And we really wanted to help them out, and they were kind of struggling with their numbers this past year, and you know, being as it is in our economy right now, I think a lot of people are feeling it. And we thought, hey, might as well put together some great music and help some people out. So.
It's the Maui Ohana Collective, and it is true. It's very, very difficult. I was just talking to Pat Senior before you called in, Pat Junior, about you growing up and going to the haiku school and how advanced it. How advanced it was for its time, just because of the cool people that lived around there, right? which was a treat. But I know you have done, and many people have done, benefits for some of these very other schools that do make a difference, where to hopefully see that kids, like your kids, like your enlightened kids, I mean, your kids are growing up in the garden with you and playing in the soil and helping in the farm, and to have to do that and then come to a whole other realm where it's not creative, it's got to be really hard. So, of course, you want your kids to have the best environment for learning. You want them to be able to enjoy going to school, you know?
And, you know, it's a little different nowadays. Like, I had a friend who actually just was talking, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, downplay. I'm not trying to be, you know, judgmental about public school, but I had a friend recently who was asking the public school about, you know, they were thinking about putting their kid in public school, and they were asking, oh, how much time do they spend on, you know, indoors versus spending outdoors? And the teachers told my friend's mom, my friend who's got a kid, the school told the mother that the kids only spend 2 10-minute recesses outside.
Oh,
and
no.
Then 75% of the time is on iPad. Where they don't even do printed out worksheets anymore. It's all on the iPad.
Oh, that's terrible.
So I thought, well, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of families are in a pinch with you know, the economy, and so public school is a really easy option for most people. But I want to help support families.
It's tough, you know, because recess used to be my favorite subject.
Me too.
Totally. And nowadays, you know, like when I went to school, we didn't have iPads in this classroom.
Right.
And, you know, we spent a lot of time outside. But nowadays it's a little different, and so this Maui Ohana Collective is really helping to support families with alternative education and getting kids outside and doing real things and not to be on screens all day. I think a lot of kids already get that at home enough.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
To be on it all day at school is one thing. So,
Pat Senior, how many kids in the family besides Pat Junior? How many is it? Three.
In
my siblings,
yeah. He's got three boys.
Three boys.
I got three boys.
And you got three. Oh my gosh, poor Chris.
Yeah. We have three kids also, and Pat's one of three.
But you know, and this is my field. Communication is so important. I mean, if we think of the movies we've seen, like Good Will Hunting and others, and you know, that communication, if it's taken off by just going to an iPad or a computer and learning that way, that isn't learning by communicating. That is a whole other thing going on there at that point, you know, which concerns me because there's so much a lack of that communication. But communication is an energy sharing. It's a back and forth. And if you're just looking at a screen, just taking in what that screen says, that's not communication.
And that's not to say that we can't learn things from screens, of course, but I think, you know, we need to keep it balanced, and that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, because you haven't talked about it in a long time, Pat Jr. You had a very different life growing up. A life-changing event happened, I think, when you were 18 or 19 years old, where you had to face cancer. Was that 19?
I was actually 23 at the time.
Oh,
I was
okay.
10 years ago, actually. I'm 33 now, so
wow.
10 years ago.
And when you have something like that, it changes your whole perspective on life. And I'm sure, as a parent, I can't imagine, Pat Sr., when you had to face that, how scary it must have been.
Definitely. It was life-changing for all of us, I think. You know, a reality of that nature, you know, just you start to, you know, certainly reflect on the important things in life. And you realize you don't ever want to sweat the small stuff ever again.
It's
you
true.
Know?
Yeah.
Your life becomes much simpler, you know, and just, you know, you want your child to be healthy, and that's all that matters, and that's where you put all your energy at that point. And I think, you know, many, many families have those kinds of experiences, and you all know what I'm talking about out there, anybody that's listening, how your life becomes really focused in a split second. It was a terrible experience, but at the same time, it's probably one of the more life-changing moments, probably for me personally, and I know it has to be the same for Pat, but it's the same for any family. You know, you start to reassess, the important things in life and all the other noise that's going on outside you all the time that you think you need to pay attention to. It becomes really secondary and certainly less important. So something to remember anyway.
Pat Jr., do you remember what was one of the healing things that happened? Do you remember the things that fed your healing and recovery the most while that you were going through that?
Yeah, I will say that, I've always been a nature guy. And I think when I got done, even during and after chemo, I really was just so grateful to be in nature and have, experiences back. I just having fun and enjoying. And I think my childlike sense of having fun really came out more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of songs and music started coming out at the time when I got done with my chemotherapy. And then also, not long, I would say only just a couple years after my cancer experience, I met my wife, and we now have 3 children together. That was a time when I really just was realizing, wow, okay, if I'm going to do this, then now is the time to do it. And I'm grateful I found the right one. And I think that really, going through cancer really put things into perspective for me. And so when I saw the opportunity to have children with this woman, I just knew that it was the time to do it. And if I was ever going to be able to have kids, and also, the music that came out of that experience for me was pretty moving as well. And I will say that this song, this single that I just released called Decisions, is really kind of a fruit of that time as well, and how, okay, now that I'm healthy and alive, what do I choose to focus on a day-to-day basis?
Well,
how do I decide what to do?
You did a perfect lead-in. Let's play a little of this. This just came out, didn't it?
Yeah, we just released this. We've been sitting on it a little while and weren't sure when the right time to release it was. And I just made my decision that it needed to come out. And at a time when I'm, parenting and doing my best to divide my time between music and farming and surfing and being a family man. So, yeah, it's called Decision.
Okay, let's listen to some of it. You know, I love this. It sounds so good. And, I just have to say thank you because, yes, nature is healing. Every day I make a point of getting out there, but you have that right in your backyard. And you know the energy you get from planting trees and and seeing them grow and having that healing energy. Who's playing on this song?
Well, we had a pretty interesting, aside from the band that's playing the song, we had a cool experience where Dave Mason heard about us doing some recording and decided to drop in on us in the middle of the session and came and recorded the lead guitar part on the song. So that's Dave Mason playing the lead guitar in the middle of the tune.
I love
him. And then we got Hutch Hutchinson on bass.
Wow.
Chris Thomas on drums.
Love him.
I think my dad's keyboard player, Billy Payne from Little Feet, on the keys.
Wow. That's awesome.
John McPhee of the Doobies playing the cello part.
Wow.
And my dad and I singing and playing guitar.
That's such a great, great combination. What a blessed combination. Dave, of course, I absolutely love. And Hutch, you know, from Bonnie Raitt and all that. To be able to even just get all the people together to record that is pretty huge. Where did you record it?
A couple different places. I think mostly at Chris Thomas's studio. He's got a studio of his own.
In Maui Meadows. Then, I used him for my last song I did, yeah.
We did, I think we did most of it up there. Recording here at the house.
Some at home, maybe a little bit.
At home, and some recording just, different places, just with a laptop, at different locations with different people, kind of on the fly,
mm-hmm.
as it were.
Well, you have to, because a lot of these people are on the road, including you.
Exactly.
You were so doing huge.
We end up picking up a lot of those parts with going here and there.
When did you...
I did the initial writing of the tune, and then I kind of let my dad take it where he wanted to take it, and it just came out beautifully.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was going to ask you that, Pat Jr. Usually we want to impress our parents. It's kind of typical. Do you find that you still try to impress your dad and your mom and people you hang out with in the Doobies to do your music? Do you look for their kind of appreciation of what you're doing?
I think maybe subconsciously. I think I realized that, I'm never going to fill my dad's shoes, of course. I'm never going to fill him, Dad. But I can still, just keep the music going and keep the legacy alive and keep putting out good music.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not that I'm ever going to be, I'm not, who knows where I'll be in a number of years musically, but... But I do my best, having fun with it.
Well, you did that rather intensive tour. It was a huge tour, Pat Sr. And you covered how many cities in that last tour?
What, you're talking to me?
Yeah, talking to you. talking to me?
I wish I knew. We probably do about 80, 90 shows a year.
That's a lot.
And that's about how many cities we end up. So, 80, 90 cities probably every year.
Yeah.
We've been doing it we've been on our 50th anniversary tour for the last 3 years.
I know. You got to make the most of that.
That one to death.
You got to.
But we actually celebrated 50 years in, 2021 was the year that our first album came out, so...
That was COVID time. That was
when
COVID happened.
Out, so,
yep.
2021 was 50 years, and here we are 3 years later. We're still on our 50th anniversary tour.
I just watched the Billy Joel 100th concert, and I had to wonder, it's like, well, is that really 100, or were there a couple of times people were sick? But you got to go with whatever people remember, right? It's like, I saw an interview with you, Pat. It was on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, which I love. I just love what they do on that CBS Sunday Morning Show.
Of course.
And they did an interview with the Doobies and talked about the 50th anniversary and everything. And it was so real. I think that part of you having your beautiful land up there in Haiku really helps keep everything real. Do you find that it's your grounding place that brings it back to what you really care about?
Oh, I think so. But I think I've learned in life, or this is my own philosophy, and I'm sure it's different for different people, but no matter where you go, there you are.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, I try to stay grounded wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Willie Nelson, he's probably the most grounded when he's on his bus, you know, going down the road.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. A guy who could be anywhere anytime he wants. He'd rather be on his bus out touring. That's not necessarily, I'm not that way. I like being home as much as I like work. And, you know, I love music, and that's a huge part of my life. But I enjoy my family. I enjoy my home. You know, we're talking about the outdoors. I really appreciate, I mean, living in Maui, we've lived here, 30 years now. And, it doesn't get any better than living here in Maui. You know, people come from all over the world just for the experience of, you know, going to a resort, and they feel the peace and the serenity that we kind of feel every day living here. But I don't take it for granted. You know, I mean, to me, it's like I feel like that tourist every day. You know, when
wow.
I get up, I'm here where I love to be, and you know, when I have to leave, I try to carry it with me. You know, that really I learned from living here. I think you spend enough time here. Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to spend time here. You just get here, and you can feel the aloha, the spirit. It moves you. You kind of take hold of it, and it takes hold of you. But when you're here for a long time, you absorb it and try to carry it with you wherever you go. And that's kind of my, like I said, it's kind of my philosophy. I try to live that every day.
Well, it's a long ways from where you started. You also lived in San Jose when the Doobies started. Didn't you live in San Jose when the Doobies started?
Oh, yeah. I grew up there.
Yeah.
I lived there from, I was 7 years old when I lived there. I lived there most of my life.
And it's not the same nature as Maui.
It was beautiful back, you know, when I first moved there. It was kind of countrified.
Huh.
And it's still, you know, as crowded as it is, it still has a certain charm. They did, you know, they planned the area really well as far as, you know, travel and the roads and getting from here to there. And there's something about it that will always be San Jose, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know why? Because I knew the way.
To San Jose, da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's a good one.
I just want to chime in here real quick, and I don't mean to be a dark cloud, but I will say that, you know, I'm aware that, and I think this has just been more and more apparent living here for as long as we have, that we are very privileged in the way that we get to live here. And it's not peaceful and serene for everybody here. And I just want to point that out, that I'm aware of that. And I know that as well as privileged and as well off as we are here on Maui, my family, I acknowledge and I'm aware that there are people struggling right now.
Oh, yeah.
There are people, you know, in terms of even, you know, in Lahaina, what happened there. But even aside from Lahaina, like just the local Hawaiian people that have been here the longest, they're probably the demographic that's struggling the most. And so I just want to take time to acknowledge that and not just be this, you know, white settler family who's, you know, being successful here, because there are a lot of people who aren't having as peachy of a time.
Well, we have
a wonderful
music scene.
Music too,
yeah, so. You do. And so do so many wonderful Hawaiian musicians we get a chance to listen to. But leading into what you said, I want to play this song, Lahaina.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
It's a great song. And give us the lead into this, Pat Senior, about the evolution of this song and who you have on Lahaina.
Well, when the fires happened, I was actually off island visiting friends, and when I heard about the fire, it was just surreal. I couldn't quite wrap my head around it. And almost, you know, when you're not there and you're just talking about something, it's like, well, that couldn't have happened. That can't be. And then when I found out the reality of it, it was just, it was devastating. I was pretty devastated. I don't think any of us have quite recovered from it. I don't know if we ever will. It was such a huge event, and every day, you know, you hear something about it on the news or from, yep, you know, from different people about what's happening with this recovery effort. But, you know, it's my intention anyway when I wrote the song as a tribute, certainly. And, you know, I just kind of, it was sitting there in my heart. I wanted to say something in remembrance. And then I was hoping more than anything to, you know, raise some awareness and, you know, some funds, raising money. I think that's the biggest thing we can all do at this point. And I knew it then and I know it now. It's, we just have to keep trying to raise funds to help people who are struggling, because it's such an immense undertaking, and so many people that were devastated that it's just going to take, you know, a lifetime really to get people back.
Even today, still people are having a hard time.
And, oh, yeah.
And to, you know, hopefully get a lot of those people resettled back where in Lahaina proper, if not in Lahaina, at least somewhere. And so we grabbed on to the People's Fund and found out, you know, I like the concept of that, you know, getting money directly, you know, Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne Johnson came up with this concept of creating a fund that people could just, you know, use immediately. And so that's what's been happening. People are able to draw funding from that account. I've heard something like they've given away something like $60 million.
Wow.
But anyway, so this song is part of that fundraising activity. I went out and I got a lot of people that I knew and my partners to all contribute money to a little fund that I created, and then the band turned around and gave that money to the People's Fund. So it's just an ongoing effort. But, you know, the basic song is, you know, just kind of looking back on what Lahaina was. Everyone knows how horrible it's been, but I wanted people to have the feeling of getting back to Lahaina, and hopefully, you know, I don't know if it's going to take a long time, but I think it will happen, and many people are actually returning. I have friends that are, you know, their insurance is kicking in, and, you know, government programs and so on are helping them to get back on their feet. And a lot of people are going to be rebuilding, I think, in the area. And then it's just going to be an ongoing community effort to see that the town is rebuilt. I know it's going to be different than what it was, but it's still Lahaina. It's still there. It's still something we can all remember what it was and try to create something as good, you know. I don't know if
he's on the track.
I know that with enough effort that, you know, it was a wonderful place before and it can be a wonderful place again.
Okay, Pat Jr., I don't think you hear. What did you ask?
I was saying maybe you can say who's saying on the track, Dad.
Yeah.
I had the band, Michael McDonald, myself, and John Shanks, our producer, wrote the song. Jake Shimabukuro is playing some ukulele on there. Henry Capono is singing on the track. Mick Fleetwood is playing drums on the track. And then all the guys in the band, Tommy Johnston, John McPhee, myself, Mike McDonald, are all performing on the track as well. I'm trying to think. I think that's about it. John Shanks played bass on the track and some guitar as well, maybe some keyboards. Everybody just kind of jumped in there and sang parts and played, and John McPhee's doing some really great slide guitar on their Hawaiian style guitar.
Let's listen. You know, when I listen to this, both Pats, when I listen to this, what I notice is not only is it's every single element of a great song with full music. These days, we don't hear necessarily a full-on group with every single musician playing something wonderfully. We hear a lot of filler sometimes. But this has not only a beautiful, beautiful melodic piece of music, great words, but every member of the band. Every member of the band is amazing.
That's so nice of you, Cindy. We just really felt good about it when we were done. You know, I felt it expressed, you know, the beauty that I always feel when I think about Lahaina and my experiences there. You know, it was always one of the places that you know, you love to visit when you go to when yeah. you visit here, yeah. and it was one of those places where, you know, I love to go and spend time with friends. You know, Mick Fleetwood had his club there. I loved yeah. going there. And Pat used to play there at Fleetwood's, yeah. and everybody used to go there and jam and have dinner and hang out and have drinks. It was just a...
Yeah. Well, you know, people can come and hang out and have drinks and have fun at the playground. There are still tickets left. This is going to be an amazing event this coming Saturday. You don't want to miss it. It's only $25 general admission. You can have a VIP ticket for $35. Where's that? No one else can do that. So that's going to be a special experience. It's going to be Pat Jr. in the band.
Yeah.
Yes?
Doors are at 6, and then we're going to have Matt Dolomo and Orion Hitzig open at 7.
That's wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I think you're playing somewhere else tonight, aren't you, Pat?
I am. I'm playing over at the Maui Coast Hotel in Kihei at the Hanohano Pool Bar. I do that every twice a month.
Just
solo.
Oh, cool. That is so cool.
And then also I wanted to say, too, for both of my dad's song, Lahaina, and my song, Decisions, we both put out some new music videos for each of those songs. So if you're on YouTube, just type in Lahaina, Doobie Brothers, and then you can type in Decisions, Pat Simmons Jr., and you can see a brand new music video for both of those.
You got to do that these days. It's part of the whole schedule.
Yeah, we wanted to capture the essence of this, you know, in each of the songs, and I think people will be stoked.
Well, I love both of you. I just am so glad that you had the time to call, and God bless you. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time.
I'm honored. Thank you. Aloha.
All right, you guys. Talk soon.
Okay.